Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. There's a lot of anger out there these days. I doubt that anyone has avoided hearing all the stories about the political anger, the anger about the pandemic and what is or isn't being done, what is or isn't being required. And we hear a lot of stories about people taking out their anger in inappropriate ways. People becoming physically violent with airline stewards and with restaurant workers. This last week I was visiting in the hospital, and in the elevator in the hospital, there is a sign reminding us that it is a crime to assault healthcare workers in the hospital. And I thought, really? We're at that point that we need to be reminded that even if we get angry, we shouldn't like hit the nurses? It's a problem right now. Now, I myself grew up in a family that didn't handle anger well. But in a different way. I was raised to be a good Lutheran girl, which meant being nice all the time and not ever hurting anybody's feelings. And so we kind of learned to just keep stuffing the anger down until maybe it would explode sometime in some very, yelling and screaming, and then we'd all go back to not talking about it for weeks at a time. And it's taken me a lot of work to try to address that pattern and learn how to use anger in more appropriate ways, or to deal with anger in more appropriate ways. But when I was in seminary, I came across, I was doing a lot of feminist reading, and I came across an article by womanist author, that's a feminist of color, Beverly Harrison, called "The Power of Anger in the Work of Love." And it was life-changing for me, that realization that sometimes anger is the right and appropriate response to what is happening in our lives or in the world around us. And that anger can be channeled to make good change in the world, to call for the change that needs to happen, to care for ourselves or other people. And so it's a journey. Learning how to handle anger, and especially when so often the church has said, we're not supposed to be angry. But that's not realistic, right? Because anger is simply an emotion that we feel, and what is important is how we use that anger. So our Christian ambivalence to anger, I think, makes this story that we read this morning really uncomfortable for us. Jesus is acting out. He gets angry and he acts in ways that we really wouldn't consider appropriate as a good way to handle anger. Let's look closely at this story. Jesus has come to Jerusalem and to the temple for Passover, as any observant Jew is encouraged to do. And remember that Passover is the celebration of liberation. Right? The celebration of rescue from slavery and of freedom. And so that's in that background of the story. Now, in the book of Deuteronomy, it is a requirement for Jews who are able to come and do the offering at the temple during the Passover. But it does say that, you know, if you are far away and it's really hard to kind of bring your animals or your birds along with you, you can get those at the temple. That's right there in the scripture, the law to do it and also the means to do it. And so these people who are providing the animals, that's in the scripture. But Professor Craig Kester points to perhaps the problem that Jesus has when he says, "Stop making my Father's house a marketplace." Kester says you could use the word emporium. Right? There's a whole different take on that. Stop making my Father's house the mega mall, the big box store. Because what are the values of the emporium? Wealth, profit, me over the world. Whereas the religious values, the values of the temple, ought to be hospitality, reverence, care for one another, and worship for God. And so perhaps that is a core there, a seed to the anger that Jesus feels and expresses when he sees that these values have taken over, these foreign values of selfishness and greed have taken over in that holiest of places. But Jesus' action is also provocative. It is meant to get the attention of the Jewish leaders. And John uses it here early in the gospel to show that from the very beginning of his ministry, Jesus is provoking and getting negative response from the Jewish leaders. There is going to be throughout the gospel this interchange, this challenge to what has become practices that have gone a wrong way, and Jesus provoking this response from the leaders. But his action also signals a necessary change. The temple has been the religious center of Judaism, of their worship and their religious life for the centuries, but that is about to change. Jesus now becomes the center of the religious life. Jesus has become God incarnate, so the place to meet God face to face is no longer in the temple, but in the person of Jesus. You may remember that in the year 70 AD, the temple was destroyed, and John wrote his gospel after that time. And so John is writing to a group of Jewish believers who have lost their temple. They have lost their center of worship and encounter with God. And this is the response. It's okay. The temple has been replaced. That encounter with God, that face-to-face, is now found in the person of Jesus. So early this week, I was driving and listening to NPR, which often happens, and I heard an interview with a historian talking about Martin Luther King Jr. And he was talking about how we remember Martin Luther King Jr. as a man of peace and the nonviolent movement. And he said, we can't mistake that for a sense of passivity. That what they did, Martin Luther King and his followers, those who demonstrated with him, was provocative. It was done to get attention, to draw a response, to really show out the evil of the people who were oppressing them. And so there's the peaceful, but there's also that provocative sense of getting a response and calling for change. And I thought that early in the week, I thought of today's gospel story and the actions of Jesus and how those civil rights activists followed in the footsteps of Jesus, how their anger gave them the power to do the work of love for their own lives, but also for everyone in this country. Jesus, we remember, we call him the Prince of Peace, but that peace is not a passive peace. We so often think of peace in our Christian community as don't rock the boat, don't challenge anybody, don't hurt anybody's feelings. Let's just keep everything calm and okay. But that's not always peace because it doesn't include those people for whom the status quo is not liberating and is not okay. John's gospel will point us again and again to center our attention and our trust and our lives on Jesus. And to center on Jesus means that we also center on love for our neighbors, near and far, the ones who look a lot like us and the ones who live totally differently than us. To center on Jesus demands seeing and addressing exclusion, injustice, and invoking God's vision of abundant life for all. In his gospel, John often uses the theme of remembrance. And twice in today's lesson, we hear the disciples remembering. First, they see Jesus' kind of wild action, and they remember from the psalm, zeal for God's house consumes me. And they think that Jesus is so focused on God and who God is that he is moved to this radical action to right a wrong that he sees at the temple. And then later, after the resurrection, the disciples again will remember what Jesus said. Destroy this temple and it will be raised in 3 days. And then they know that Jesus was talking not about the building, but about the temple of his body, of his own self, who will be destroyed but will also be raised. Tomorrow is also a day of remembrance for us. We remember Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and we honor his life and his work. And we recognize that that work is not done. And we repent of the sin of racism that still holds our society in bondage. And we pray and work to realize Dr. King's dream of equality and freedom. We remember, we recognize, we repent, and we work to realize God's vision, Dr. King's vision, and hopefully our vision of mercy and love, of justice and peace and freedom and abundant life for all God's children. May it be so. In Jesus' name, amen.